Welcome to another special CI Center podcast. I'm Adam Hahn, and I'm here today with David Major, president of the CI Center, to talk about Course 105, the John Walker case, implications and lessons learned for today's challenges. David, can you tell us a little about this course?
Well, the Johnny Walker espionage case is one of the most significant operations that were done against the United States by the KGB. Johnny Walker was a spy from 1967 when he walked into the Russian embassy until he was arrested in May of 1985. And it's a case that's not just stuck in the past. It had huge strategic implications. And it was such a significant case that we went back and looked at it and said, what are the lessons for today? What do we learn about the psychology of why someone becomes a betrayer? How do you respond to it? How was he handled? What things can we learn that any security manager should know today? What makes this case particularly interesting for those who have never really studied it is that we have both the alpha and the omega of this case. What I mean by that is that on December 18th of 1967, when Johnny Walker walked in to volunteer to be a spy, the deputy resident of the KGB in the Soviet embassy in Washington was Oleg Kalugin, who's on our staff. So he talks in great detail about how Johnny Walker was perceived, why they believed he was a legitimate volunteer, and how they handled him, and the personalities of the people who were involved, and the importance of the intelligence that was provided by Johnny Walker. When Johnny Walker was arrested, that was on in May of 1985, and while this case originated in Washington, D.C. field office of the FBI and in the Norfolk office of the FBI, Johnny Walker was arrested in Maryland. And at the time he was arrested, he was brought to the Baltimore office of the FBI, where I was, the counterintelligence and the counterterrorism program manager and supervisor. So I was there at the end of the case and was deeply involved in the prosecution of Johnny Walker and the plea bargaining and the damage assessments that were done. So you really see a case from the day it started to the day it ended. And then we talk about the implications it had for national policy, because the Johnny Walker case was the one that drove my assignment to go to the White House during the Reagan administration as the first director of counterintelligence programs on the National Security Council, when we made counterintelligence a strategic issue and an issue that would be handled at the highest level of the government, and to implement a whole series of reforms that were essential in a strategy that was eventually would lead to the collapse of the Soviet Union in an operation called FAMISH. So that's also discussed in this one day. Our feedback from the students who have attended it has said that it's absolutely unprecedented that you see and hear a case from both sides. And so we feel that this is one of those cases that anybody who's interested in both security or counterintelligence or intelligence would get a great deal of value from, and our feedbacks have really been very, very positive for this course.
When Johnny Walker was arrested and brought to your office, that must have been a momentous, memorable occasion. What was it like to have him, a major spy like that, arrested?
Well, I remember looking at Johnny Walker at the time and thinking, my God, there's a man who's claiming that he's a spy for the French, like it makes a difference. But it's okay, almost, he was taking the approach. And I remember looking at him and said, this is going to be the Rosenberg of my generation. It can never get any worse than this. A few days later, his son was flown in from off an aircraft carrier, and he was also brought to the Baltimore office of the FBI. And I was there when the agents who were working with me on the squad interviewed him and got a confession from him. And so we looked at this case as probably as bad as it could get. Little did we know, little did we appreciate that while this was happening in May of 85, Rick Ames from the CIA had just volunteered to the Soviets on April 16th of 1985, 1 month earlier, and he had started what will become his espionage career leading up to his arrest in 1994. And he is as damaging to the intelligence community as Johnny Walker was to the defense community. Little did I realize that at the same time in that year, which we now refer to as the year of the spy, that Bob Hansen, who had started spying for Soviet military intelligence in 1979 and had gone dormant in 1981 when he was transferred to FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. from the New York office, would reactivate himself and start spying for the Russians in September and October of 1985. So all these events are swirling around us, and in the middle of it, the eye of the storm, if you would, I thought that Johnny Walker was kind of stood alone. And in fact, he certainly did not. But he was a very high-profile case that came at a very important time in American history.
And what was the quote by, I think it was one of the Russians, that if we had gone to war with the Russians, the Soviets, that they would have won because of John Walker's information?
You know, there was a lot of the varying pieces that came out on how significant this case was. And what I find interesting is when Oleg Kalugin talks about it, he said that it had war-winning implications, that the Johnny Walker case was a man who provided so much intelligence that they called him Agent Number One. We also had Vitaly Yurchenko, who was a Soviet defector, and he defected in August of 1985, and his comment to the intelligence community was that that Johnny Walker had allowed over a million classified cables of ship-to-ship and ship-to-shore communications in the Navy to be read, and 80% of it, 80% of ship-to-ship and ship-to-shore was being read by the Russians, and it had war-winning implications. So you had one defector in 85, but then subsequently Oleg Kalugin substantiated that by saying this was a really significant case, and it's one that should not be lost to history. It's very important to go back and look at cases like this and say, okay, what can I learn from that? I have distance now. The emotions have subsided. What did we learn? What was the drivers behind this man? What could we have done different? We actually go back and look at his entire life. We talk about every major event in his life. And when he was age 30, that he decided to become a spy, and that how he ended up recruiting a network of agents. As I said, over a period of time, most people have forgotten the significance of this case. And so we make it try to come alive again in this one-day course.
Very interesting course. If you'd like more information or to attend, please contact us at 703-642-7450 or 1-800-779-4007. Or you can visit our website, cicenter.com. That's CICENTRE.com.